All right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined, as always, it is...
Matty Juice. What is going on, everybody? Good to have you back here for episode number 63 of the 63. Fresh Juice. Yeah, 63.
Holy moly. Fresh
Juice podcast. I know.
How about that? We got a great episode for you all. Today, we're using a new program, so bear with us if anything's a little wonky, but we'll put out the best product we can. Yeah. But it looks sweet so far, to be honest. But we're going to be talking about Entropy Survivors today in a bit, a new bullet hell roguelike. You know, they are a dime a dozen, or are they, is the question we will be answering later. But it's going to be a good time. I'm excited. How you doing? What's new with you?
I'm doing great. So let's see. There we go. Look at that. Switch to the new scene. Look, catch up. There it is in the new software. No, I'm doing good. Let's see. This weekend, what did I do? Went to some dog training, which is just, you know, my dog Pluto was making me look like a doofus because... Because we train all week and then we get to training and then we try to do the things, you know, the instructor is like, all right, go ahead, like show me, you know, the homework basically. And Pluto's just looking around like he doesn't know what to do. And I'm just like, dude, we did this all week. But anyway, it's getting better now. We have to have like a chain leash on him in the house at all times.
Interesting.
So he's just dragging it around. It's just so like if he's getting into something, we can like correct him, basically. But yeah, so that was good. That was fun. And then on Sunday, I went to the Eagles game with my dad, with Papa Juice. Yeah, just kind of, you know, I saw him during the week and he was just like, do you want to go? I mean, they were playing the Panthers, so tickets were a little cheaper. We actually sat in like the 100 section, which is cool. Don't usually sit there. Yeah. It was awesome. Definitely came down the wire. You know, it was almost a little heartbreak there. We didn't know if we were going to be the bad luck charms, but no, they pulled off the W and it was great. Went to Jim's of South Street, you know, great cheesesteaks there. And they got to see the new place because they burned down. So it basically looks the same other than they expanded and have more seats now. But yeah, I think next time though, my dad and I, we love gyms, but I think next time we're going to like try out another place, you know, because we've had gyms enough. We're like, all right, there's other good cheesesteak places there. Let's see what else we can have. But yeah, other than that though, it was pretty good weekend, pretty quick weekend. Played a little Path of Exile 2, which might show up later in the rec room. We'll see. Other than that, it just kind of flew by, honestly, the weekend. So, yeah, but it was a good one. What about you, Tom? How's everything going in your world? You're in a different room.
I am in a different room. Well, that was one thing I did this weekend. I moved for those who don't know this, I now live yet again in the house that I kind of grew up in. Not as a child, but as like a teenager on. I'm back in my old room, converted it into an office. I was sharing one with Lady Fresh before, but now I'm going to be working from home a little bit more than I was with the new job that I start next week. So I was like, all right. So I figured, all right, let's convert everything. I moved everything up here. I miraculously didn't break my computer, which was kind of what I was worried about, knock on wood, but everything's working so far. And yeah, that was fun. And then Friday we went to our friend's birthday, like shindig. They're twins. So they wanted to go go-karting. So we went go-karting in Edison, New Jersey at this place called High Performance or Maximum Performance, something like that. Okay. It was cool. These go-karts, they went fast, I will say. I haven't been go-karting, like real go-karting, I don't think ever. So like this was like like a thrill. And I was the, we did two races. The first one was a little bit timid. I was figuring it out, you know, I was still going fast, but like I was figuring out how these things turned, but you can drift.
Yeah.
Like you, like you do in Mario Kart. You're like, screw, you know, it's like, so once you got a hang of that, you were like really going fast. Actually, Lady Fresh won, had the best time at one of the races too.
Which nice.
Is concerning. she's a speed demon, but that was cool. That was a good time. Did some like, it was fun. And then like they had like the Dave and Buster-y kind of vibe going on as well. I ate like fried food and I can't do it anymore. I really can't. I was up all night and then like eventually like had to yak because I was just rolling. I was like, like it was like I'm old. Like I had fried food past 10 o'clock. It was a bad, bad experience. But it was fun otherwise. I will say, actually, the other day I was driving in Mercer County, New Jersey, and I kept seeing these signs all over the place, including a billboard. And I kept saw, I saw the signs first. I was like, it's a pickle house.
I was I saw those this weekend too.
And I was like, a restaurant / retail business that only serves a bunch of pickles. That's sick. Yeah. I love pickles. And I'm like, I should go check that out. And then I see the billboard. I'm like, holy smokes, this pickle place really wants people to come get some pickles from there. And then I saw it was a freaking pickleball place. Like,
God. Man. You know, for some reason I was like, is that like the opposite of like a gentleman's club? It's like for women, you know, it's like the pickle house, you know, something like that. But I saw those going to the Eagle game too. And I was like, I was thinking it was like a place that had all different types of pickles, like a big pickle bar, you know?
That's awesome. They should have that, right? Yeah. That should be a real place. I was on the fence about pickleball, right? I've played some pickleball. I have a pickleball like paddle. It seems crazy. It's not a racket. It's a paddle.
Yeah.
And I played, I like tennis. So like I prefer tennis every single time and like whatever, pickleball is still fun. But now I think I'm off pickleball. They've ruined my hopes of a pickle only retailer, which I think those do exist. I've been to those, but I was just excited. Pickle house. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, it's a freaking pickleball place. But anyway.
Yeah. Speaking of pickles too, Maria bought, rest in peace. Maria bought, that's a little inside joke there. she bought like at Target, like, she actually gets like little packs of olives for herself. Ooh. But she also bought, they have like packs of pickles. So she bought, it was like $1. And it's like just a pack, you know, it's got pickle juice in there. It's kind of got like a Ziploc-y kind of top.
Like the ones they sell at Wawa.
I guess I've never had any of these. I was like, I didn't know these existed. I thought like it was either jars or nothing, you know?
No, they got bags, brother.
Dude, I'm like, I'll spend $1 a week if you can keep getting me these pickle bags, you know? Because I eat like two a day, you know?
And it's a good snack. Healthy snack.
Yeah.
Or low calorie. I don't know if it's healthy, but there's just a decent amount of sodium, but we need it. That's like kind of basically water. It's like hydrating yourself. But those things are legit because they got the spicy ones and the regular ones.
Oh, they have a spicy one. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Next time you're in a Wawa, take a look in the little middle kiosk where they have like the cheese sticks and like the pre-made sandwiches. Usually they have a few bags. Pickles.
Nice. Yeah, no. I mean, we're big pickle people, right? So I'm always looking for a new way to consume a pickle. Yeah, right. I'll leave it at that.
Leave it at that. I think with that, we got to move on to news, which if you don't know, now you do. We have a Discord, folks.
Oh my God. Discord?
It's sick as hell. Yeah. Oh my, that was hype. Yeah, we have a Discord. It's called the Juice Heads. It's a great place to hang out with other Juice Heads. It's either there or your local gym, folks. Right. But no, check it out. It's in the show notes below. And it's a great way to interact with the show, give listener questions, give game recommendations, just talk about games in general. And it's good fun over there. But you posted some real news.
I did, yes. So one thing that I saw pop up a few days ago is actually something from Xbox that they're doing that's pretty cool. So they are hosting – Xbox is hosting an Indie Game Fest demo event. And the thing that's really cool about this is obviously typically demos are for games that are completed or maybe close to completion. These are actually for unreleased games that are coming out over the next year or so. And there will be over 35 demos, and I've just seen a lot of hype around this. It seems like people are, you know, obviously really happy that there's going to be a spotlight on indie games, but just the fact that, this is almost like people are saying it's like an indie E3 kind of little small event that Xbox is doing, where you'll be able to play some demos. And apparently some of those games are games like The Altars, Culebra and the Souls of Limbo, Cosmorons, and Section 13. So those are some that were just listed in the article. I'm not too sure what they are, but pretty cool stuff. I don't know if this will also be, since Xbox is doing a lot of PC stuff as well, if this will be available also on the Xbox app on PC, but it'll at least be available on Xboxes out there. So for those of you who play Xbox, definitely check it out. It starts on December 10th and it ends December 31st. So during, you know, if you got a little holiday break coming up, maybe load up a few cool indie demos for some games that aren't even out yet, which is cool. So looks like the, you know, Xbox is getting in on the Steam action, right? We got the Next Fest with the demos. Xbox is doing their own thing. Just really cool to see. So, you know, thought it was worth sharing, Tommy.
I think it is worth sharing, considering this is an indie game podcast. No, this is sick. I mean, any opportunity to take a look at some new demos. And, you know, I wish the event was a little bit longer, but it kind of makes sense. I feel like Next Fest is probably about the same, and there's only so much time in the day. But
yeah,
I'm excited. I have the Souls of Limbo. Is that this is actually a different. They have a Steam page. Interesting. There is a demo out for that on Steam, so maybe it's going to be out everywhere.
Yeah, it might be. It looks like The Altars also has a demo available on Steam as well. Maybe a few other ones too, which is cool, you know. I don't know. I feel like we're getting into this kind of era of demos that are more like betas, right? We kind of talked about that with like the Sworn demo that we played a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. That they really treated it like a beta, right? Because they ended up taking it down and now they're working on the game, and I'm sure there'll be another demo at some point. So I wonder if that's like the new trend, rather than like calling things betas, right? Like they're just going to release them as a demo, and they probably get a marketing benefit from this too, because a demo would show up separately from the main game, you know, on like the Steam listings, at least from what I know. So you might be able to, get a little benefit from, doing a demo versus doing a beta for a game. So I don't know. It's kind of interesting. I don't know if I fully agree with it, because in my mind, I always think of a demo as like a slice of a completed game. Mm-hmm. But that's just from, you know, us growing up with demos, you know, that's just how they were. But I feel like demo is almost getting a new definition these days, where it's more of a test versus like a slice of a finished game.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, funny enough, looking at this, The Altars game, like, you know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of The Invincible. And then I was like, oh, they were both published by 11-bit Studios. So I was like, oh, there we go. The game does look pretty sweet, though. I'm a huge fan of this. I think that, you know, just more demos in general. And like, yeah, Sworn felt like a pretty full thing. But like, there's only so much you could have done. And like, I played the demo for the game that we are playing next week. And I don't know if it was like a full game. It felt like you can kind of play until you unlock everything available in the demo. But then there, like, you saw, like, this is locked behind the real game. This is all stuff that you can like unlock that way, which I think is a nice enticing thing. You're like, well, I want to see what this power up does, et cetera, et cetera. So
yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Now, I did see you also posted here that the first official Balatro playing card deck is up for pre-order. And guess what? I already pre-ordered it.
Yeah, I figured you would be right on top of that.
But yeah, it's pretty cool. Honestly, not that bad. Like, you never know how much they're going to charge. So that's $16, but like, you get a pretty unique playing card thing. It's all the same art from the regular decks, not the, because there's a setting that I use in Balatro. I forget what the heck it's called. Basically, a high contrast mode so that your clubs are blue and not also black. So it's kind of easier to see. But this is a classic red, orangey, and then black and black for the clubs, hearts, aces, and spades. But you also get jokers, of course. Yeah. You get, let's see, which ones do you get? You get Blueprint. You get Gross Michelle. I'm trying to see if I can remember the names of them off the top of my head. Blueprint.
Juggler.
Gross Michelle, Juggler.
Yeah.
And then just regular Jimbo, right?
Yeah, yeah. Regular Jimbo Joker.
Regular Jimbo Joker.
Yeah.
Pretty sick. I ordered it at $16.
Yeah. I don't know the price of like normal decks of cards, but like not bad at all.
$10 for like a bicycle, I think. Bicycle deck of cards.
Yeah.
And like a CVS, I think. Like $8 to $10
for a bicycle. Amazing. Yeah, not bad. You know, no wonder bike shops are going out of business.
It was like 100,000 Poke dollars in red and blue, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, so that's $10. So we figured out the exchange rate.
We did the exchange.
Yep. No, this is, yeah, it's awesome. Obviously, I think a lot of people have wanted this. There's probably things on Etsy you can buy that are like, you know, people doing this already. I did see some feedback about this, is that people were, obviously Balatro is all about like the jokers. So people were like, oh, it'd be cool if you could select your own jokers that were then in the deck, or like if every deck had a random four that were in there, or maybe random three, because maybe you always want Jimbo in there. But still really cool. And I'm sure they're going to do other editions of this, maybe even with some of those partnerships they have, like The Witcher and, you know, Among Us and all that stuff, which would be cool, kind of special edition ones. But yeah, this is like a kind of a long time coming, right? Balatro playing card deck. I'm probably going to pre-order it as well. The only reason I haven't so far is I just kind of forgot, to be honest, that it happened and it came out. Or that it will be out. It will ship in March 2025. So for those who are looking to get it as a Christmas gift for somebody, you're not going to get it in time unless it's for next year's Christmas and you hold next on to it for Christmas. A few months or something like that. But
maybe more Memorial Day for the States people. I'm not sure.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. but yeah, very, very cool that Local Thunk's doing this. And, you know, he can, you know, Balatro continues to do cool stuff, right? I can't wait to see what's coming next. They really seem like they're, you know, we always, not to get too into this, but we always see like these indie games or just games in general that have a lot of momentum and then they kind of fizzle out because like they either don't come out with updates enough or they don't really make the right decisions. It seems like Balatro is always kind of making the right decisions and they're doing things at like the right times too. Really smart for them to announce this right now too, because I feel like people are used to spending this time of year anyway, and they're like $16, no problem, pre-order, get it in March. I'll probably end up pre-ordering it too, but very cool stuff.
And this is on Fangamer too, which if I'm not mistaken usually has a booth at like PAX.
They do, yep, every year.
So I mean, maybe maybe they'll have more Balatro stuff at PAX. I mean, they have a ton of other indie game stuff going on at Fangamer as well, which is pretty neat.
And I think they do like a Jimbo plush that was a pre-order too. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's through Fangamer, but maybe I'll pick that up when I'm at PAX, you know?
Maybe.
Cool, yeah. Maybe. In May.
Maybe. anyway, folks, we do have to talk about a video game this week.
Oh, we do.
It is Entropy Survivors, which, folks, this is a game 10% off on on Steam right now, coming in at $8.99, developed by Moving Pieces Interactive and published by First Break Labs. And it's a bullet hell roguelike where you simultaneously control a powerful mech and a sharp-shooting space frog. Very cool. Featuring outrageously creative abilities and powerful weapon customization, save the universe in single-player or 2-4-player online co-op. It is going to be a game we're about to talk about. Sorry, we had to make sure that the gameplay was playing.
There we go.
Yeah, we got it going. listen, I'll come out of the gates here. This is your classic survivor-like bullet hell with a updated kind of graphics, I would say, in a way. Like where rather than, you know, the 2D stuff that we see really popularized by Vampire Survivors, this is a little bit more modernized, not unlike Spell Rogues that we played?
Oh, the Spell Brigade.
Spell Brigade, yes, yes. Yep. Very similar to that. Although this is I guess maybe a little bit more in depth. You know, you're going through, you have your weapon on one hand, like the description says, where you have like your sword or whatever, and your mech is attacking with that, while your frog, or I guess like, I don't even know, I guess like the pilot of the mech is shooting. Mm-hmm. So you can have it on auto attack for the sword part, but like for the gun part, you can have it on auto aim and you shoot. But otherwise, if you don't want any of that, you can control both with either trigger or whatever the mouse and keyboard controls were. I didn't use that. You go through, you have plenty of missions. You have multiple different worlds. I think it's like 8 worlds or something like that, with multiple different opportunities to have different kinds of missions and different kinds of layouts and biomes. While you're collecting coins to upgrade stuff back at the home base, it's classic roguelike stuff with a survivor skin here. For the gameplay, I found it to be okay, right? This was a totally fine game, nice little time killer, but I will say it didn't feel like it did anything stellar to kind of separate itself from the pack of the other survivor likes that I've played. Now, the depth is certainly really nice here. I think the depth is probably the biggest selling point of this game. If you want to like really like go in and like unlock a bunch of stuff, new characters, etc. And then, you know, I felt like that was kind of a limit of the enjoyment, right? Because I played for a while. I unlocked stuff, got some new characters. The Paladin was pretty sweet too. And I just felt like it wasn't – it's going to sound like super lazy to say, but it just wasn't cool enough, right? I like sci-fi stuff. I like the setting. Everything like that. I like mechs to a certain extent, but this felt so basic to me and not necessarily, it was, I guess, challenging enough, but like, it felt like I would get rewarded for things that I didn't even realize I did. Right. Mm. I felt like I was completing things and picking up stuff. And all of a sudden I would go up in health or I'd lose a ton of health. And I'm like, I don't know why I got health, and I don't know why I just lost a ton. And I felt like that muddied my experience with playing this. However, you know, all that being said, it was a totally fine time waster, as these Survivor likes tend to be. I just felt like it could have been better, but there were a lot of positives here too. Like the upgrade systems were kind of neat, how you can kind of, you have this kind of dual idea going on with, you're upgrading the left side of your bar, where it kind of represents the sword melee stuff that you're doing, and then you could upgrade the right side of your bar, which kind of represents the range stuff you're doing. And that was kind of neat, see how you can make different combinations every time you go out. But there was just something missing, and I'm not really sure exactly what that was, but it just felt a little homogenized when you're playing at times. But overall, fine experience on the gameplay, but I would say nothing that really separated itself from the pack of like the huge amount of these kinds of games we're getting these days.
I think you make some good points. I kind of almost felt like playing this game and you know, watching the gameplay, seeing all the features it has, and even playing the game itself, like you can tell that there's a lot of care put into it. There's a lot that they thought about, which is great. But for me, I didn't really get like a lot of satisfaction in like how I was performing in the game. I also ran across that issue where I was like, I knew I got health. Like when you pick up like a butterfly, like you get health. But then there were certain times where I'm like, wow, I just took a lot of damage. I don't really know how I just took a lot of damage. You know, there was a lot of things where I just didn't know what was going on. I don't know if it's because it gets pretty busy pretty quickly. There's a lot kind of on your screen too. I kind of got like Diablo sort of vibes. Maybe it's because I've been playing a little Path of Exile too as well. But I think, I don't know. I kept thinking of like Halls of Torment that we played a few weeks ago. And like that game is just so satisfying, but it's so simple at the same time. You know, just killing enemies is satisfying. Leveling up is really satisfying. In this one, I just kind of felt like, you know, they threw a lot of enemies at you, but I felt like I wasn't really getting like rewarded that well for defeating them, which kind of leads me to be like, all right, I'm not getting a lot of satisfaction out of this. I will say that, you know, I like the upgrade system in the game. I think that some of the abilities are really funny too. Like there's a humor aspect to this where I had like one ability where like shoes fall down and they stomp on things. Like you can get another ability with there's like a garbage truck that can deal damage for you. Like it's funny. Like I like the twist that they put on this Survivor like or this Bullet Hell, you know, whatever you want to call it. It's really like a mesh of the two, I guess. But yeah, I just didn't really get a ton of satisfaction. I think one thing they could do is, not that the game is hard in the beginning, but typically with these style games, the first, you know, I don't know, 5 minutes is like a breeze, right? But I kind of felt like in this game, the first 5 minutes, I was like, oh my God, I'm almost dead 3 minutes in, and I don't really know why. I just kind of felt like there could have been a little bit more of a buildup, and maybe that would have made it feel a little bit more satisfying. But it's weird because everything around the game, I think they did a good job with, like we mentioned, the abilities. Even, you know, after you complete a run or if you die during a run, you kind of go back to this like lobby sort of area where you can interact with these different NPCs that are there. There's like a skill tree, you know, you can kind of get like permanent upgrades. And one cool thing about that is you can actually go, there's like a, I forget what they call it in the game, but there's an area you can go where it shows like the abilities, I guess, that you've unlocked during your runs, and you can change the probability of those abilities showing up in future runs. So you can be like, oh, I really like this ability. Let me throw some currency at this. And I want it to have, you know, a 1.5 times chance of showing up. And then maybe you don't like another ability that you keep, it keeps kind of showing up. You can lower the probability of that one showing up. So that's a really cool system. I haven't seen that before. Maybe I missed it in some other games, but I haven't seen that before in other Bullet Hell kind of Survivor like games. And that's cool. Also, I only played solo. You know, it's a co-op game, 2 to 4. You can do 2 to 4 players. So maybe it's a better experience playing with other people, but I really judge these kind of games, you know, playing solo, because I feel like they're meant to be kind of time killers if you, you know, you're playing on your phone. Not that this game is available on the phone, but yeah, that's just kind of how I've always sort of viewed them. So yeah, it was a, I agree. It's kind of like a middle of the road experience for me with this game. I liked a lot of the systems in it. I just didn't have a lot of, I know I've said it before, but a lot of like satisfaction with like, oh, I killed like this big boss enemy. Okay, I'll move on to the next one. I don't know. There's something about like Halls of Torment when like, you know, I don't know. You just see like, maybe it's the art style and we'll talk about that, but there's just a lot of satisfaction from killing like the really basic enemies to even killing like the really hard like boss enemies. Even in Vampire Survivors, even in a game like Kill Knight, there's so much satisfaction. You know, it's more of a bullet hell game, but it's so much satisfaction in like killing things in Kill Knight. So I think this game, I don't know, it's almost like they had all the pieces, but there was no like, I hate this, there's no like soul, right? Like that's almost what like I felt like playing the game. And you know, this is also, you know, we review a good amount of these games. For someone maybe who's coming into this genre with this game, they might enjoy it a lot more, mm-hmm. or maybe he's only played one or two. But as people who've played a good amount of these, I'm always comparing it to those other experiences, which have been pretty solid, I would say, overall. I'm with you there. It's kind of a middle of the road gameplay experience.
Yeah, which is a shame. But in terms of story, you don't really get a lot of story in these kinds of games. It's kind of interesting. This one felt like it was going to have story, right? Because there is like a pretty big emphasis on this main character, Space Frog. Right. And you have a lot of other characters that you talk to, but it never felt like it was fully realized.
Yeah.
They built this world, but like it didn't really feel fully fleshed out. But then again, you don't really need it in these kinds of games. I don't think Halls of Torment had some of it. Right. And that was like just enough. Right. You just need a little sprinkle. Mm-hmm. So like this one, I can't really discount it on not really having story. Although, like, the Space Frog is cool. You know, it reminds me of Slippy the Toad, right? You know, it's just like that is a fun thing to do in video games. And I'm not sure, you know, why they didn't expand on it, but can't really discount it.
I'm with you there. Also, sorry, the gameplay is frozen on the screen. So apologies for that if you're watching on YouTube. But I'm with you. I wasn't expecting a story. And then when you get into the game and it's kind of setting up a story element, you know, what does it say? It's like the end of the universe or something like that. I was like, oh, this is interesting. They're going to have some more story elements. Maybe there'll be some dialogue while I'm playing, kind of in the same vein as like something like Boar Blasters or Deep Rock Galactic Survivor, where there's like a little kind of story elements that kind of help build the atmosphere of the game. Didn't really get that playing this one. I would have liked to see a little bit more of it, but yeah, you're right. Like these types of games are, it's all about the gameplay really at the end of the day. No one's really looking for a lot of story. Although, you know, just because that's kind of the way it is doesn't mean that some game can't come along and really change that. And we can get a story-driven, narrative-driven Survivor-like at some point. Could be kind of interesting. But, I agree. You know, if you're looking for story, it's probably not the game for you. But there is a good amount of personality though with the game, with like even just the character you're playing as. I would have liked to found out more about the robot and the frog, like what's going on with that. Like that's pretty weird. Kind of reminds me of like some reason I'm thinking of like Biomutant, like weird, like I don't know, games where they have kind of like there's a kind of a natural aesthetic with like a robotic sci-fi aesthetic and they're mixed together. I don't know, I always, those are always interesting to me. So I would have liked to learn a little bit more about that. But maybe also, who knows, maybe we didn't play enough to unlock some more story elements or something like that. But not a lot of story here.
Yeah. And that brings us to the art. Yeah. This one's a tough one for me to talk about because like, I think that the character design is good, right? I think the mech frog thing, we just talked a lot about it. Very cool. And then the other characters as well.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. But I really was having some difficulty with the enemy design. They felt lazy to me. I think like almost like blobs. Like, and I think that the aesthetic of the actual like levels was totally fine. But I will say at times it did feel like, I don't know if you remember this era of video games in like the early 2000s, I guess maybe late 90s, when classic arcade games got a 3D version, mm-hmm. right? We had a yep. Centipede game on PC. We had Pac-Man 3D games. We had Space Invaders 1, all these different kind of upgrades, which I played a lot of as a kid, but like looking back, they weren't that great. It felt a little bit like that, which I can appreciate, but I felt like it just, it's so interesting. Like looking back at my gameplay and then looking at like the Steam page, right, where I'm looking at the videos that they have on the Steam page, it is a totally different vibe. Like it almost looks like the actual gameplay on the Steam page is fake because it looks so much cleaner than what I experienced. I felt like I experienced like a really, I said it earlier, like muddy feel, like with the enemy design. So like, I don't know what that is. I did like the UI. The UI looked good. I think it looked pretty neat and pretty easily laid out exactly what you're trying to do. This is something that actually a lot of games that we review don't do well. This is something they did very well. Here are your goals, your missions on the top left, how much time you've been going, your stuff that you've grabbed in terms of resources up on the top right, and then you have your upgrade bar on the bottom. Super clean, super easy. That was actually a home run. But in terms of the enemy design and the environment, I didn't love. It felt very sloppy. But other than that, it was, again, pretty middle of the road here.
Yeah, I agree about like the UI. I thought they did a solid job with that. Especially I liked that they kind of consistently show like the quests. You can see it in this frozen screenshot we have here on the YouTube stream. But yeah, they, you know, certain games that are in the survivor-like category, you have to like look at your quest back at the main menu. You might be able to pin like one quest on there. So I appreciate that they like allow you to see multiple of them. So you kind of maybe go for specific ones if you want to during your run. And yeah, everything about the UI made sense. Even like back at the lobby area where you're upgrading things, like that was actually satisfying, like going through those menus. But as far as, you know, kind of the meat of it all with the game, I actually found that I would lose my character more often than I would like to. And I don't know if it's because of how busy things were or maybe because the enemy design didn't really stand too much apart from like what my character looked like. There is like kind of a ring around your character. So you can kind of sort of keep an eye on it that way. But for whatever reason, I was kind of like losing my character from time to time. As far as like the environment design, I personally didn't have like a big issue with it. I thought, you know, I thought it was fine. It reminded me of the Spell Brigade, actually. You know, that's kind of more 3D, simplistic 3D sort of game, like a survivor-like. I thought it was all right. You know, I didn't really have a big issue with it, but yeah, that was the biggest thing for me, was just like losing my character. I don't know. Maybe there's something they can do to put like a bigger spotlight on the character, or maybe, I don't know, make your character a little bigger or something like that. I'm not really sure what they would be able to do about that, but that was just something I experienced when I was playing. I thought each of the abilities had like, they did a great job art wise with, the icons for them. And even like the way you're using the abilities, You know, each one kind of has its own personality. I mentioned it kind of has like a humor aspect with some of them too. So I thought they did a good job with that art wise. But it's definitely, it's not the aesthetic that I typically like to play Survivor likes with, you know, from, does that make any sense? With, from, whatever. It's, yeah. I prefer like, you know, a game like Halls of Torment or even like Vampire Survivors. Like it just top down, you know, I mean, I guess Halls of Torment's not always top down, but just, I don't know, a more simplistic kind of art style. I felt like it kind of got a little busy at times, which is probably why I lost my character. And very colorful, very vibrant, you know, there's a lot of things that are drawing your eye away from like your character. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe even like having the environments be a little bit darker, maybe kind of like, you know, you're going down in the caves in like Deep Rock Galactic Survivor. So like you kind of have a light around your character, just makes sense from like a, you know, a narrative standpoint. Maybe there's something with that that they could do. But yeah, I don't know. This gave me big like console vibes, if that makes sense. All the UI is very big. The lettering is huge. Like it made me feel like I should be sitting down on my couch playing on the TV versus playing on the computer. So maybe that was part of the reason I kind of wasn't super crazy about the art style, but I didn't have any major issues with it other than losing my character from time to time.
Yeah. It's like, I feel like we're running into this a lot with this game, is that it just is missing the mark. I think it's a valiant effort, but I will say one thing that I did enjoy was the sound. The sound design here was actually pretty cool. And I like the soundtrack specifically. It was upbeat. I felt myself actually like really enjoying that. And that was actually a big reason why I, you know, didn't mind playing it so long. As well as the different kinds of sound effects here. Like there's a point where you can become a pinball and you get the pinball sound effects. It was like, you know, well-intentioned and stuff like that. Nothing groundbreaking, but like the actual soundtrack was pretty sweet. It's like sci-fi, not totally electronic, but like a good bops, you know, just upbeat, like nice drum and bass almost. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I agree. I had no problem with the music fit with the gameplay pretty well. Even like the sound effects were good. There's even a point where like you can get like this pinball power up or something like that, where like just what do you call in pinball? What are those things that hit the ball?
The flippers.
The flippers, yeah. Yeah, you got the flippers and like the bumpers or whatever, they just like pop up. And so if your character like goes into a flipper, you kind of turn into a ball and you bounce all around and defeat enemies. Like that had great sound design to it because obviously it sounds like pinball. I also really enjoyed the sound. The abilities, everything sounded good. I didn't get a lot of like enemy sounds that I've remembered, at least. I'm sure they are there, but they weren't like super noticeable for me. But the overall soundtrack, you know, I don't have a lot of notes on it. I think even just looking at the game, like if you're looking at it on mute, you could probably guess what the soundtrack is. So yeah, it worked for me.
And then finally, performance wise, I didn't really have any issues. I don't think I ran into anything. Not that I could see anyway. I mean, it was able to take like a lot of things going on screen totally fine for me.
Yeah, that was something I noted down, is like it was kind of impressive that, you know, there was so much going on and I didn't have any FPS issues. Yeah, just no issues in general, performance wise, which is obviously great. I don't know if this is a game that could like make its way to mobile. I know that seems to be like the trend with some of these Survivor like games, just because there is a lot going on and there's a, you know, it's definitely more graphic intensive than some of the other ones that we've played. But on PC ran well for me.
Sweet. And that brings us to our ratings with our brand new rating screen.
Oh man.
We have a bunch of different ratings. Certified Fresh Juice. These are our Balatros and Norp Apologues of the world, a Steel, stuff like the Cub. I guess Leica, fell kind of there. I gave it a Certified Fresh Juice, but, on sale, a lot of games fall into this, you know, listen, not everything's going to be stellar and you know, if it's on sale and you want to try it out, I think we would totally wouldn't fault you for it. And then manager special, I would say either deep discount or free to play, or you're just really, really into whatever the genre is. And then spoiled milk, something we wouldn't recommend for anyone. Matthew, what do you give Entropy Survivors?
I am giving Entropy Survivors a middle of the road on sale. I think it's, you know, it's like a $9 game, I guess $10 game, not on sale. I think a decent amount of people would probably get some enjoyment out of it. I just, as someone, you know, we've been playing a lot of Survivor likes on the show. It just wasn't hitting the mark compared to some of the other ones. So yeah, I'm just giving it a middle of the road on sale. I think if you know, it's 10% off right now. I think it's worth playing, you know, for people that maybe haven't played a lot of Survivor likes. I think there's a lot going on for it. You can tell the care was there is kind of what I mentioned before. But just for me, I just wasn't getting as much satisfaction out of the gameplay as like some of the other games that we've played. So I'm just giving it a middle of the road on sale. But Tommy, what are you thinking? Are you higher, lower, about the same?
So I gave it I'm giving it a very low on sale. And I just think that like in this competitive market of these Survivor likes, I think you kind of really have to not only hit the mark, which I don't think they really did, but you have to do something truly different. And I don't think they did that either. There were some cool ideas in here that I think that, if worked upon in a future game would be really neat to see. For example, the perks coming at different intervals or not intervals at a different chance of seeing certain perks within the game was kind of neat and stuff like that. But yeah, it's not a manager special for sure, but I can't really give it higher than a low on sale, unfortunately, but I'll look forward to whatever else, these devs have, in store for us in the future.
Yeah, good.
And we do have listener questions, folks. These can be submitted via Discord. The first one, we missed this question, unfortunately, because we're getting married and stuff like that. But Eugene popped in and said, longtime lurking listener here. I played Dead Cells a little after it came out a while ago and couldn't seem to get the hang of it. And it did not seem to grab my interest. But after hearing Tommy here rave about how good the game is over and over, I decided to give it another shot. And oh my God, is that one of the greatest games I've ever played? I mean, I think we all agree here at the podcast. Great game.
Yeah.
Thanks for giving another shot, Eugene. And thank you for listening. And Eugene follows up with a question. What is a game that took you a second look or being in the right mindset / place for it to click?
Honestly, a game that I didn't give a fair shake. I mean, there's plenty of games, but the one that comes to mind is actually Hades. I remember playing Hades. I think it was like, I never had played it at launch, but I got it for free from the Epic Store. And I was like, oh, this is great. Like so many people have talked about it. I loaded it up and I was just like, I don't know. There's just something about it when I played it. I don't know what else was going on at the time, but I was just like, I don't want to invest the time in this game. But, you know, after the Hades 2 hype, you know, I was like, all right, I have Hades. Let me go ahead and try it again. And then it started to click. And it, honestly, I think a big part of that is just this show, right? Like we've played so many different games and different genres, and I'm now kind of, you know, more experienced in a lot of those different genres than I was before. And because this was prior to when we started the show, when I first tried Hades. So yeah, I get it now. Like Hades is awesome. I do want to play Hades 2 at some point. I never really got super far into Hades, but it's made me appreciate games like Sworn, for example, mm-hmm. where I'm like, oh man, this is, Hades is great, but I'm really liking Sworn because it's kind of got the Hades elements that I really like, plus some other stuff going on, and obviously co-op. So, I'd say first one that pops into my mind is Hades. That was a game that definitely deserved a second chance for me. So I'm happy I gave it to it. Yeah,
and it's another banger.
Yeah,
One for me is Wild Frost, which is a game I ended up really, really loving. But the first like two or three times I tried to play it, I was just like, I can't play this game. I really can't, because it's a deck builder roguelike that is so like the strategy and what you do in that game is so different from like a regular, like your Slay the Spire or whatever, that you're just like, this is hurting my brain. And I feel like I'm just going to lose the first round every single time. And then once you get the hang of it, I was like, oh, this game's so sick. Like, I can't wait to keep playing this game. And I played a lot of it, probably like upwards of 30 hours of that game, at least. So that one for sure. It's just, yeah. Just need the right mindset and just like kind of have to commit some time, because like you just have to remind yourself, I'm gonna like this game. I just actually have to put it in my brain to like get past the first 5 minutes,
yeah,
and like be ready to commit yourself, I think.
Yeah, great question though, Eugene. Thank you for submitting that. Look forward to some future questions from you if you got any other bangers, you know, and obviously Dead Cells. I mean, I'm glad you're liking that. We love some Dead Cells here. So,
hell yeah.
And we do recommend, we played Windblown. I don't know if you've listened to that episode, but that's from the Dead Cells devs. That pretty solid experience and early access. So check that one out too, if you're into kind of Dead Cell-y sort of vibes, I guess, but more
Dead Cells meets Hades, I
think. Yeah. Basically. Yeah.
Next question comes from K-More. Game award predictions. It's this week.
It is, yeah. So I know we kind of covered some of this in a previous episode. You know, we don't have to go over every category. But game of the year, what do you think it's going to be, Tom? You got the list in front of you there?
I'm getting it up. Game of the year. I think Astrobot's going to win, as much as I would like Balotro to win.
Really? Astrobot?
Yeah. Okay. I saw actually somebody compare it to Oscar bait, kind of like when a movie comes out right before you run award season, you can kind of tell this is like for the Oscars and not really the general public. Although I will say Astrobot is something that a lot of people can enjoy. I would say that I can't see Elden Ring doing it. I can't see Black Myth Wukong doing it. Both very controversial games, and I think that's working against them. Balotro, I think, deserves it. But like, you know, it's fighting a lot of allegations, right? It's just a card game, blah blah blah. You know, yeah. every other thing, you know, took so much time. I'm like, this was one person that made it. Anyway, that's just my thoughts. And then anything else that really has anything to do with this podcast, I would say, I mean, I think Balotro has like a nice clean sweep in some other things. I don't know, game direction, probably not, but. Best narrative.
Yeah, probably best indie game, I'd say. Balotro's, and debut indie game. Either I would say it's between Animal Well and Balotro for that one.
And then maybe even mobile game as well.
Yeah.
So, like, that would be my predictions. What about you?
Yeah, I think, game of the year-wise, I want Balotro to win. I actually think that Elden Ring will probably win, because I just feel like, I don't know, at least from years past, it's like the big name usually takes it, right? Like Zelda, Red Dead Redemption, The Last of Us. Like, it's just, I don't know. I know a lot of people loved it when it came out, you know, and maybe... you know, it's hard to know how people vote, because it came out earlier in the year, right? And people were loving it, but it's like, now what do they think about it? You know, the months later, hard to know, because no one's really talking about it too much. But I just know it has a lot of pull because it was so highly anticipated that I don't know. For some reason, I'm just thinking that it's probably going to win, even though I don't think it should even have been nominated since it's a DLC. But I want Balotro to win. I think Astrobot has a shot. The only reason I'm thinking it's not going to win is because it's only on PlayStation. And I just feel, I don't know how many, you know, of the judges, right? Like some of them might not have played Astrobot. I don't know what the requirements are. But yeah, I'm thinking Elden Ring might take it. I don't think Black Myth Wukong is going to take it because it's going up against Elden Ring. I don't think that makes sense. I'm not a Final Fantasy guy. I know people really like Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I have no idea anything about that game. And then Metaphor I've heard is good, but I don't think it has enough pull. So I don't know. Elden Ring, probably. But who knows? And then, yeah, best indie game, I think Balotro is going to take that. Debut indie game, I think Balotro wins that. Maybe Animal Well, but who knows? And then, yeah, best mobile game, I think the only... Let's see, where is that? Why am I not able to find that here?
It was pretty far down on the list.
Isn't...
Pokemon is on there.
Yeah, dude. Pokemon. Yeah, I could think that maybe that somehow takes it down just because people that vote might not even know what Balotro is, right? Like the community that votes, but they're like, oh, Pokemon, boom. Like my friends have been talking about this, whatever it is. But I'm hoping for that Balotro sweep. If it gets, because Game of the Year is going to be the last announcement they do, obviously. And if Balotro has won every category it's been nominated for up until that point, the amount of like hype online is going to be insane. Like just waiting for this announcement. And if they say Balotro, the amount of angry people that I'm going to see on my feed is going to be staggering, but also like the amount of praise and just like people going nuts. So I'm hoping that Balotro at least wins everything other than Game of the Year. If it doesn't win Game of the Year, whatever, but I just want to see that buildup of that Game of the Year and just like, will it do the sweep? You know? But
I mean,
we'll see.
Here's the thing, though. I think people are going to be mad no matter who wins this.
Yeah,
it's this year because it's like it's not. There's no clear winner, which is kind of crazy. So that's all the more reason to go Balotro.
Yeah, which is actually, you know, it means we had a good year in gaming, right? When there's a lot of argument between which game should win. You know, regardless.
People also argue that it's a bad year in gaming because of that. I don't agree with that sentiment, but like. They did some controversial stuff. So keep it coming. Why not?
Keep it coming. Yeah. Yeah. We'll see.
And then our last question comes from Capolo, who asked, what would be the best indie video game featuring Santa?
Oh, I mean, some sort of like delivery game or something like that. Maybe like, or even like Overcooked, but it's like you're the elves and you're building toys or something like that. Could be kind of cool. So I'll go with that one. I'm going to say Overcooked in the North Pole and you're building toys instead of cooking. And then you're loading up Santa's sleigh. That would be pretty cool.
That'd be sick. That'd be sick. Actually my rec room has Santa in it right now for like a Christmas update, which is kind of interesting. And I played as Santa last night.
For a second, I thought you were saying that you were recommending Santa.
I'm big
like,
Santa
hey, if
guy.
You haven't heard of Santa, you should check him out.
Pretty cool. golly, what would be the best indie video game featuring Santa? I think that any kind of life sim would be really neat, like a Stardew Valley. Santa edition would be really neat where you are new to the North Pole and you have to build up the North Pole. Ooh. That would be really fun. And you kind of like recruit elves or enslave them, whatever he does. I'm not sure. Not for me to comment on. But yeah, something like that.
It could also be cool to like, if you think about it, like Santa probably does a lot of stealth sort of stuff. So some sort of isometric like stealth thing where you got to figure out how to get in the house and deliver gifts or something like that could be kind of cool.
But every house, every level, for whatever reason, the house has like armed guards.
Right. Yeah, kids like with water guns waiting to get Santa. Yeah, that would be kind of cool. Like if it was like a Home Alone, like traps were set up and you had to somehow like,
oh yeah,
figure out how to get in there to deliver the gifts. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be a cool asymmetric like online multiplayer game where one person gets the role of setting traps in the house, yeah, and the other people get to the roles as the wet bandits.
Yeah. Yeah.
How sick would that be?
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. Man. But we need Joe Pesci to do voice lines. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm not playing it.
Oh, man. Well, thank you for the questions. You can submit them on Discord, folks. And finally, brings us to the Rec Room, where we recommend something that might not be an indie game.
Yeah, I am wrecking. I don't know. I guess this is technically an indie game, but I mentioned it earlier. Path of Exile 2 came out in early access a few days ago, and at first I thought it was going to be free to play, but it's going to be free to play at 1.0, and then it's $30 to get into early access. And I just saw like some of my buddies were getting into it, so I was like, all right, I'll buy it, and if I don't like it, I'll just return it, and then I'll play it when it's free to play and see if I like it then. I love it. You know, I don't know if it's still in like the honeymoon period or whatever, but I heard that it was basically like Diablo meets like Dark Souls, like in terms of difficulty. Apparently, they made a lot of great quality of life updates compared to Path of Exile 1, including being able to like respec your skill tree using gold. Apparently that wasn't possible before, and you just get kind of locked into whatever skills you chose. You'd have to like start a new class, I guess, in order to try something different. So, or start a new character, I should say. So I've been really enjoying it. I think the world design is awesome. The enemy design is so, so great. And something that, always kind of had bothered me with a lot of like these sort of dungeon crawler MMO style games is that a lot of the enemies are like pushovers, right? Even like sometimes you go defeat a boss, you feel like you're just clicking, right? And you're like, all right, I don't really have to think that much. This game is not like that. Like you need to be on point. Even when you're in a group, you know, you need to dodge certain attacks. You know, there's the bosses have interesting mechanics as well. So I haven't gotten too far into it. I think my character is only like level 10, something like that. But everything about this I'm really enjoying. And I know that I think Grinding Gear Studios is the devs for them. People love them. They have a great track record of like just being really transparent, no pay to win elements whatsoever. They address things really quickly that are an issue in the game. I've seen them already post about a bunch of things that they are working on fixing. But I've had a lot of fun playing solo and playing with friends. And it's, yeah, I don't know. It kind of came out of, I was like, I've always been interested in Path of Exile 1, but I always felt like I was a little bit behind because I never played it at the beginning. And it just was very overwhelming. But playing it now, especially when my TikTok feed is now just filled with like beginner tips, it's like I'm just really enjoying it. And I got the craving to just want to go play more of it, which is cool, you know. So yeah, Path of Exile 2. Check it out. If you do end up playing it, go in the Discord. Let me know your username. I'll add you, and we can play a little PoE 2.
I guess I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to have to take the leap.
Yeah. I think you would like it quite a bit. You know, I mean, dungeon crawler kind of games, they're awesome as it is. But this one, the world is just so dark and like messed up. And like, it's awesome. It's so cool.
Probably popping on that this week at some point. And I'll post in the Discord. My recommendation is an indie game. It's a game that I saw come out, and it's still in early access. Saw come out. I was like, it looks like something I would enjoy. I'm not going to pull the trigger. I don't know. And then finally I did. It's Tiny Rogues.
Ooh.
This is, first of all, it's still in early access, but it is sitting at like 9,000 overwhelmingly positive reviews on Steam. It is a roguelike bullet hell dungeon crawler with RPG elements, as what says in their blurb. And it is so much fun and so cool. And every run feels very unique. And it is just like a blast. I think for fans of like Binding of Isaac and other kind of similar bullet hell stuff with the roguelikes thing going on, especially like Enter the Gungeon even, this is that, I think, pushed even further. I know Bags, our friend and listener, likes Binding of Isaac. I think Bags would love the hell out of this game. This game is so sick. Got to play as Santa last night, which was fun. He was pretty OP, to be honest. He has like this, he has Rudolph, or like a reindeer that will attack things, like just like right out of the gates. You have like a legendary companion, but like all these different like weapons and equipment and all this stuff that you can find. And it's just like really cool. It's kind of funny too. And the art style is really neat as well. So Tiny Rogues.
Cool. Yeah. I'm looking at it right now.
$10 on Steam.
Still early. Came out in 2022, still early access, but overwhelmingly positive. Great sign there. You know, I'm sure that they're probably close to 1.0, I would imagine. Yeah, really like the art style. It looks interesting. And how would you say difficulty wise? Like, is it pretty difficult right out of the gate, or does it have a gradual buildup?
I think you'll get to, like, if you're used to like the bullet hell kind of thing, it's really not that bad. Like, there's like a lot of like inventory stuff that you just got to get used to at first. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like a ton, but like you got to just get used to how it works. And you can definitely tell some of that's still like early access. But other than that, I think that you pick it up. You'll make to at least the first boss on your first run, or at least close to it.
Yeah.
So
cool. Yeah. I added it to the wish list.
Yeah. It's pretty sick. Well, maybe we'll review it when it hits 1.0.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. But I think that's going to do for the show, folks.
There you go. Look at that.
I've been Tommy Fresh, one of your juice givers. And you can find me on Blue Sky, Twitter, everything, at Fresh Buds Pod. I have another podcast called Fresh and Buds. Talk about Flesh and Blood, the trading card game. Matt, where can people find you?
You can find this juice giver at Maddie Gorm on all the socials and everything. That's about it. You know, I haven't been doing too much on the YouTubes and the Twitches and all that sort of stuff, but busy time of year. Bath of Exile, you know, I got no time. So
also Fresh Juice Pod. Find all of our stuff and Discord and juice up, brother. Goodbye.